Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. When it comes to state fiscal policy, North Carolina elected leaders have always pursued a conservative course that's emphasized relatively low taxes and low spending. Over the past decade, however, Republicans at the General Assembly have kicked this approach into overdrive, so much so that many experts now have grave concerns about the enormous harm that's being done to core services like public education and indeed the overall health of the state's economy. Earlier this week, I caught up with one of those experts, veteran fiscal policy watchdog Alexandra Sirota of the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center.
It's great to have you back on News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
At the onset of the pandemic, tax experts and fiscal policy experts like yourself really sort of expected our state budget numbers to kind of crater. We thought that things would fall off a cliff, but that didn't happen. What do we think happened over the past year that's made things not quite so dire when it comes to public fiscal revenues?
Well, there's two things, really. One, the pandemic didn't have quite the harmful effect on everyone. There were very many very wealthy folks who were able to weather the pandemic, kept their jobs, were able to see their incomes grow. There were also a number of corporations that saw record profits in the past year. That certainly helped. At the same time, the other thing that really helped was that the federal government responded with a big, bold package. And when they did that, that meant that a lot of folks had income and were able to keep spending and meet basic needs. And we know that that combination meant we didn't see the big revenue hit. But one thing we know is that many people, particularly those with incomes below $60,000 a year, are still struggling right now. They have not seen a recovery. The recovery may be in sight for many very well-off, well-to-do folks. We need to make sure that every person has a chance at being part of an inclusive economy that really delivers opportunity to everyone.
And indeed, there are a lot of people who worked in retail, who worked in restaurants, who worked in and maybe even owned small businesses. We know there's still a lot of people who are out of the places that they rented. There's landlords who haven't been able to collect rent from. Suffice it to say that the economy, while things happily weren't as bad as maybe we feared, it's really a huge chunk of the population that continues to sort of be left out of the recovery, and there's a lot of work still to do.
That's right. The prospect of an unequal recovery built on top of what was a very slow, unequal recovery from the Great Recession could set North Carolina on a really dangerous path long term. We know that when we don't have economic opportunity for every person, that we have higher costs, we have lower access to opportunities, and that really hurts everyone in our state.
It's also probably worth pointing out that you've talked about things weren't going necessarily all sun and roses before the pandemic. This was true for a lot of core services and structures that our government provides in North Carolina prior to the onset of the pandemic recession. We had a situation in which our investments in core services like education, transportation, public health, childcare, all these things had actually fallen dramatically because of some tax cuts that had been enacted earlier in the decade, so that we're really spending a much smaller share of our total state economy on state and local government investments, right? Even before the pandemic.
Yeah, that's right. That lack of public commitment, public investment really showed the harmful effects during COVID-19. Our public health institutions weren't able to respond with the information and the services. We know that many core functions in government, including fast, efficient technology to respond to unemployment insurance claims, had been underinvested in. There simply weren't the people to deliver the programs and services. That doesn't even begin to touch on what happened in the K-12 system and early childhood. So the lack of investment over the past decade, because our legislative leaders prioritized tax cuts for the very wealthy and big corporations, meant that we were really less resilient in the face of COVID-19. And going forward, that low level of public investment is really something that we can only address if we commit to state level revenue that is adequate. And what we're faced with now is trying to make up for lost ground only with federal money. And the reality is, while those federal dollars can be transformational, to sustain that transformation, we need a state level commitment of dollars.
We're talking with Alexandra Sirota, who's the director of the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center, about the state of fiscal policy in North Carolina. I want to talk about a new proposal that's come from Republicans who run the General Assembly about tax policy in North Carolina. But one thing that I think it's worth emphasizing even before we get to that is to remind our listeners about sort of the status of North Carolina's tax code. Is it fair to say, that we still have what might be described as an upside down tax code. Even now, before we enact or consider enacting new cuts, we have a tax structure in which the people at the top pay a smaller share, a much smaller share of their income in state and local taxes combined than do the middle class and people at the bottom, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The tax code asks households that earn poverty level income to pay almost 10% of their income each year in state and local taxes. A millionaire pays less than 5%. And so what we're doing both is building this, have a system that is upside down, but have a system that isn't able to keep up with where economic growth is happening. And we know that incomes are growing primarily at the top. And when our tax code doesn't align to that, then we can't keep up with the investments we need to make.
A big part of that, of course, has been that we've been reducing income taxes and relying upon other more regressive taxes. And apparently, the North Carolina General Assembly, at least the leadership, the Republican leadership of the General Assembly, is ready to do that all over again. They're ready to take another run at lowering taxes on the top and reducing state income. Is that the gist of the proposal we've seen recently?
This proposal would be astoundingly foolhardy. It would basically mean a $2 billion cut overall to revenues. $2 billion is about what we would need to provide every child in North Carolina with a quality early education experience. It's about what we need to make progress on making sure that every child in K through 12 has a sound basic education, just a sound basic education. When we take these dollars out of the equation, we're not able to build those public institutions that keep us connected, that support well-being, and that really are what makes North Carolina a place where people want to live, where businesses can thrive. Without that public foundation, we're hurting ourselves in the long run.
It's probably also worth noting that because of tax cuts that were enacted earlier in the decade, we're already spending billions less than we would have been if we had just left taxes where they were, at a time in which North Carolina was widely recognized as one of the best states to locate a new business, was drawing businesses from around the country. At that time, we've cut taxes, and as a result, we, what is it, $4-5 billion less per year that we have to spend on these core services even now?
That's right, about $5 billion. And so what this would do is just add to that hole. We continue to dig a deeper hole that we'll have to climb out of, because the reality is that businesses can't thrive unless they have infrastructure. They need a skilled workforce. They need the ability to get their goods to market on good roads. And we can't continue to provide those things if we aren't investing in our public schools, in our roads and bridges, in broadband. I would say as well, you know, beyond that, we know that what grows the economy is not just attracting businesses from outside of the state. We know that we have homegrown entrepreneurs and locally owned businesses that aren't going to benefit from the elimination of the corporate income tax, which benefits 28,000 companies in North Carolina. The vast majority of the dollars that are collected under the corporate income tax are from out-of-state corporations and their shareholders. And so this is not a tax plan that's going to boost our economy, and we need to get serious about what it looks like to do that. It's not this.
So what would it look like if we were to get serious? We know there's some federal relief dollars that provide us with some real opportunity to make some dents in some of these problems you've outlined. What would be a more progressive, a more forward-looking approach to addressing North Carolina's fiscal future?
Well, I think we need to start with the general premise that we're all in this together, and that we can't continue to grow opportunity for a select few at the expense of everybody else. And that means our infrastructure needs to connect every person to opportunity. So The governor outlined a bold plan for broadband infrastructure. That's a great way to really make sure that we're connecting people to opportunity. It's also critical that the folks who have not received support, who have been excluded from programs and policies over the past year, are able to access the income they need to stabilize their households. It's important that families have income to support their children's healthy development, and that we have quality early childhood education in every community. We can build those things together with our tax dollars if we ask everyone to contribute. And what we're doing now is really trying to use just federal money for a temporary year, two or three, to make some progress. But we need to have the state on the line and ready to step in and sustain those commitments long term if we want to create the kind of communities where every person can thrive.
We have our work cut out for us, but it's something, happily, that remains within our capacity to take on as a state. And we thank you so much for the enlightening analysis that the Budget and Tax Center does on these issues. Folks can find them at ncjustice.org and just click on the Budget and Tax Center link. They've got a wellspring of analysis and reports and research, and always put into common sense language that you can understand and translate and share with your friends and family. So check them out. Alexander, please keep up the good work, and we'll have a conversation later this summer. Take care.
Thank you.
Coming up next, despite obstruction from legislative leaders, some state lawmakers are working hard to assure that every public school student receives a sound basic education. We'll hear from one of them. Stay with us.